Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph for Tuesday. X area residents, Irma like hours-long tornado. Damage reports vary along west coast of Florida. A former resident of Lincoln, Debbie Wright, knows all too well the power of a tornado. You see, with a tornado, it hits fast and hard, she said, from her home in Mineola, Florida, on Monday. But with a hurricane, it lasts for hours. Wright and her family live in Lake County, about 22 miles west of Orlando and 22 miles south of Leesburg. This was worse than any tornado I experienced in Illinois, she said. It is hours of your whole house shaking. It is hours of your windows bowing from the tremendous pressure outside. It is hours of holding my children and pets tight because we were so scared. It's not knowing when it was going to end. The Wrights are among a number of families and others with central Illinois ties. The pantograph was able to reach Monday after Irma tore its path of devastation through most of Florida and was heading northwest as a much less powerful storm. Irma hit southern Florida shortly after 8 a.m. Sunday, and by early Monday, the storm reached the Tampa area, just southwest of Wright's home. While downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane by then, it still recorded sustained winds of about 85 miles per hour and gusts up to 100 miles per hour. My husband and I fell asleep about 4 a.m. from complete exhaustion, said Wright. When we woke, it was all over. We are fortunate that we never lost power and only had damage to our roof, accompanied by water damage on our ceiling on the inside. Former Normal residents Brian and April Vogel moved to Tampa about 3 years ago and got word of the mandatory evacuation Saturday morning. There were decisions to make, said Brian's mother, Ruth of Clinton. They were expecting flood waters of 12 to 15 feet deep in the area they live, she said. They have two cars. At first they were just going to leave one, but then decided to take them both. The first available hotel outside the path of the storm was in Jackson, Mississippi, about 706 miles from their home. They got there about 2:30 in the morning, said Ruth. He said they stopped at a rest area, which was just packed with people, and everybody had dogs and cats with them. They were waiting on when they can return. There isn't much gas. Shannon Crawley of Clinton has been watching television for information on Naples, where her mother, Virginia Fleming, lives with her husband, Ken. They left Thursday and headed to Mobile, Alabama, she said. They are still there and are planning to head back Wednesday. Bloomington resident Stan Wilkes has a daughter, Amy, living in Jacksonville, Florida, which is partly underwater. The news isn't good, he said. They had to evacuate someplace into Alabama, he said. She caught a picture from a news organization of her neighborhood. It is all underwater. She couldn't identify her specific house, but she is expecting the worst. Steve Paring of Clinton owns property in Manasota Key, about 90 miles south of Tampa. We own a home, and it was in the eye of the storm, he said. We just got word that there is no flooding or damage. We are very fortunate. It could have been catastrophic. We are very, very blessed. Former Fairbury resident Pam Bale lives in Cape Coral near Fort Myers. She stayed with some nearby friends to ride out the storm. All is well, and we are checking out the damages around the house, she said. The storm surge isn't nearly as bad as we anticipated, which is a huge relief because there is a flood zone here. We had a window bust out in the bathroom, but we got it boarded back up and everyone is safe. We lost power and cell service goes in and out. Authorities said as many as 6 million people were without power Monday. Cleanup operations are expected to take months. Navy carrier to aid devastated Keys. Irma death toll at 42. Florida eyes damage as the storm hits Carolinas. Authorities sent an aircraft carrier and other Navy ships to help with search and rescue operations in Florida on Monday, as a flyover of the hurricane-battered Keys yielded what the governor said were scenes of devastation. I just hope everyone survived, Governor Rick Scott said. He said boats were cast ashore, water, sewers, and electricity were knocked out. And I don't think I saw one trailer park where almost everything was not turned overturned. Authorities also struggled to clear the single highway connecting the string of islands to the mainland. The Keys felt Irma's full fury when the storm blew ashore as a Category 4 hurricane Sunday morning with 130-mile-per-hour winds. How many people in the dangerously exposed, low-lying islands defied evacuation orders and stayed behind was unclear. As the storm weakened into a tropical storm and finally left Florida on Monday, after a run up the entire 400-mile length of the state, the full scale of its destruction was still unknown, in part because of cut-off communications and blocked roads. 5 deaths in Florida have been blamed on Irma, along with 2 in Georgia and 1 in South Carolina. At least 34 people were killed in the Caribbean as the storm closed in on the U.S. mainland. Statewide, more than 6.7 million homes and businesses remain without power, and officials warned it could take weeks for electricity to be restored to everyone. More than 180,000 people huddled in shelters. "How are we going to survive from here?" asked Gwen Bush, who waded through thigh-deep floodwaters outside her central Florida home to reach National Guard rescuers and to get a ride to a shelter. "What's going to happen now? I just don't know." The governor said it was way too early to put a dollar estimate on the damage. During its march up Florida's west coast, Irma swamped homes, uprooted trees, flooded streets, snapped miles of power lines, and toppled construction cranes. In a parting shot, it triggered severe flooding around Jacksonville in the state's northeastern corner. It also spread misery into Georgia and South Carolina as it moved inland with winds at 50 miles per hour, causing flooding and power outages. Around the Tampa-St. Petersburg area, where Irma rolled through early Monday, damage appeared modest. And the governor said damage on the southwest coast, including in Naples and Fort Myers, was not as bad as feared. In the Keys, though, he said there is devastation. "It's horrible what we saw," Scott said. "I know for our entire state, especially the Keys, it's going to be a long road." He said the Navy dispatched the USS Iwo Jima, USS New York, and the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln to help with search and rescue and other relief efforts. City to look at sewer fee hike. Bloomington residents could see a 73% increase in their monthly sanitary sewer bills and a 48% increase in storm water sewer bills over the next 5 years if the City Council approves fee hikes requested by the city staff. At a work session Monday, the staff began making a case for 11.6% annual increases in sewer rates, including consumption and fixed fees, over a 5-year period ending in fiscal 2023, and 8.2% annual hikes in stormwater fixed fees during the same period. All 3 fees would continue to increase in fiscal 2024 and beyond at 3% each year under the proposal. A typical household's sanitary sewer bills would climb from $9.50 to $16.45, and an average commercial bill would see an increase from $17.15 to $30.29 monthly by 2023. The proposed increases, if approved, would generate additional revenue to fund the $136 million in potential spending over 20 years that was identified in the 2014 Stormwater and Sanitary Sewer Master Plans, said Bloomington Public Works Director Jim Karch. The council took no action Monday, but a majority of the aldermen asked the staff to come back with options for speeding up the phasing in of the fee increases or leveraging the revenue from the fee increases to float a bond to pay for the projects. "I am just concerned that we'll never get it done if we're looking at 20 years out," said Ward 5 Alderman Joni Painter. "We are so far behind now that something very drastic needs to be done. I'm thinking that maybe people would have a better taste for raising the fees over a 3-year period to pay for it. At the end of the day, we could possibly get it done in 5 to 8 years. The city last raised its sanitary sewer rate in January 2012, the staff noted. Normal is doubling its sewer rates over the next 5 years. An average town of Normal bill will increase from about $10 a month to $22 by April 2023. Following the special meeting, the council met in its regular session. After several aldermen said they received negative feedback from their constituents about the downtown signage committee's recommended Dream Big slogan for the city's gateway and wayfinding signs directing visitors to downtown Bloomington, the council voted unanimously to table the voting on the measure. Instead, the council approved allocating another $10,000 for the city's consultant, KMA Design, to come up with another slogan, design, and branding options for the council to review. Most of the feedback I got was negative, that it didn't quite capture a young, youthful, engaged look to it, and that it was a little bit on the parochial side of the spectrum. A good first start, but it wasn't the way they envisioned downtown Bloomington, said Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black after the meeting. In August 2016, the council approved a $62,190 contract with the Pittsburgh-based signage designer. The city's current budget allocates $250,000 for the project. The council also approved the reappointment of the 7 members serving on the committee. The council also approved by a unanimous vote a $681,403 contract with Stark Excavating to demolish the long-vacant Bloomington City Hall Annex, 325 South Main Street, and build a concrete retaining wall that will enable the Bloomington Public Works Department to use the space to store vehicles being worked on at the city's fleet maintenance garage. Several aldermen, including Black, Jamie Matthew of Ward 1, and David Sage of Ward 2, said they were okay with a cheaper option involving a metal retaining wall. But City Manager David Hale recommended the more attractive, the more expensive concrete wall. It really should be the city helping to set the standard for how we want the downtown to look, said Hales. Would we allow a new development to put in this kind of rusty pile sheet metal wall? I don't think so. This is such a key gateway into the city. A concrete wall is more consistent with our vision for a clean, attractive, beautiful downtown. Daily Digest. OSF Auxiliary gives $10,000 chapel. The OSF St. Joseph Auxiliary donated $10,000 on Monday to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center for the Medical Center's chapel project. The existing chapel will be replaced. Ground will be broken for the replacement chapel in the spring, OSF spokeswoman Libby Allison said. The auxiliary raised the money from its Tree of Lights campaign. Cocktail Event Honors Foundation. Beyond the Books Educational Foundation is celebrating its 25th anniversary by hosting Chemistry and Cocktails, an evening of educational entertainment for adults from 6 to 8 p.m. October the 12th at Illinois State University's Hancock Stadium Club in Normal. Bob Flugfelder, also known as Science Bob, will provide the evening's live entertainment. Those 21 and older may purchase tickets for $30 each at beyondthebooksbn.com via eventbrite.com. Tickets are limited. The evening includes hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Today's Flick Fact. Question. On TV, endlessly for the past week, as Hurricane Irma approached his state and then slammed into it, has been Florida Governor Rick Scott. When the cleanup is done and Scott goes back to his birthplace to perhaps get a little downtime and relaxation, he'll go where? In Illinois. 1. Springfield. 2. Peoria. 3. Quincy. 4. Bloomington. 5. Wheaton. And the answer is Florida Governor Rick Scott is a native of 4. Bloomington. Today in History. Today is Tuesday, September the 12th, the 255th day of 2017. There are 110 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On September the 12th in 1942, during World War II, a German U-boat off West Africa torpedoed the RMS Laconia, which was carrying Italian prisoners of war, British soldiers, and civilians. It's estimated more than 1,600 people died, while some 1,100 survived after the ship sank. The German crew, joined by other U-boats, began rescue operations. On September 16th, the rescue effort came to an abrupt halt when the Germans were attacked by a U.S. Army bomber. As a result, U-boat commanders were ordered to no longer rescue civilian survivors of submarine attacks. Thought for today. Find the good. It's all around you. Find it, showcase it, and you'll start believing it. Written by Jesse Owens, Olympic gold medal track and field athlete. Born on this date in 1913 and died in 1980. County eyes staff costs as taxes slip. McLean County is considering drastic measures to address a $1.5 million budget shortfall rather than laying off 20 to 25 employees. County Board will vote September the 19th to temporarily halt annual raises, implement what County Administrator Bill Wasson called a soft hiring freeze, and offer early retirement buyouts to 61 employees. Wasson told the board's Finance Committee, which recommended the changes Tuesday, that they would help fight budget problems caused by drops in state funding and in locally generated revenue, including income and sales tax. Officials estimate the county would save about $600,000 per year by canceling raises for employees who are not in unions. Corrections, dispatch, and highway employees are guaranteed raises this fall under contracts, but those raises could end after their deals expire January the 1st, said Wasson. The county could save $1.25 million if all employees over 55 years old with 18 or more years working for the county took early retirement. Employees would have 60 days to decide whether to accept one of three packages with varying cash payouts based on service, balanced against continuing to receive health insurance paid by the county for a specific amount of years. Committee Chairman David Seltzer said he likes offering an early retirement plan. Voluntary is better than forced any day of the week, he said. Wasson said officials will create a 2018 county budget that works even if employees don't volunteer for early retirement, an outcome they won't know for sure until after the board approves the budget on November 21st. The committee also recommended moving hiring decisions from administration to the committee's jurisdiction, which Wasson referred to as a sort of hiring freeze, and changing county policy to allow officials to demote or otherwise relocate employees whose jobs will be cut. Board Vice Chairman Jim Soldner questioned if the county could address the shortfall by cutting costs, and member Chuck Erickson asked about spending from the county's general fund balance, but Wasson said those measures will be considered in addition to personnel policy changes. I will never say that there aren't more savings we could experience and more avenues that we can take, he said. This is less about solving the immediate problem than solving the problem over several years. In addition to losing $130,000 in sales tax due to a new state collection fee, county officials expect to lose $500,000 in personal property replacement tax revenue from the about $1.8 million it now receives per year. The state pays local governments PPRT as a replacement for personal property taxes on businesses, which were phased out in the 1970s. Wasson noted that when Peoria County did a similar buyout program this year, it used former Community Development Assistance Program money funding resulting from a federal grant program that was intended for small business loans from local governments, but which is now free for other uses. McLean County Board has been discussing for months how to spend its CDAP balance, about $1 million, and Wasson said that he expects discussions to continue despite the budget crisis. The challenge is that the budget is largely personnel-based, and a solution that only solves the budgetary issue for 1 year must be replicated year after year, he said. Insurers' crews waiting for conditions to improve. Catastrophe response teams and claims adjusters are in position or en route to areas affected by the latest hurricane to hit the United States, but it might be a while before they inspect the damage, according to representatives of State Farm Insurance and Country Financial. Hurricane Irma, which made landfall in Florida as a Category 4, storm on Sunday, was downgraded to a tropical storm on Monday, but was still causing damage. Chris Streich, Public Relations Supervisor for Country Financial, said Monday, "Weather conditions today and tomorrow will likely prevent our teams from being able to inspect damaged properties until Thursday morning. Country Financial does not issue auto and property policies in Florida, but it does have customers in other affected areas. Some of our catastrophe teams and claims representatives are already located in Georgia and Alabama. The rest of the teams are en route and will be on site in the next day or two," Streich said. State Farm spokeswoman Missy Dundoff said Monday, "Our greatest concern is for the safety of everyone in the affected areas. Right now, our teams are surveying the damage and determining the resources needed to meet our customers' needs." She said it is still early in the process, with about 240 auto and homeowners claims received at the end of the day on Sunday. The company expects to receive more once people can return home or go outside to look at damage, she said. Meanwhile, State Farm has received more than 77,000 auto and homeowners claims so far from areas affected by Hurricane Harvey, which hit Texas on August 25th. According to Dundoff, Country Financial does not write policies in Texas. Streich said Country Financial expects to have at least 75 employees on location working on hurricane-related claims. They will be located in Savannah, Georgia, Montgomery, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia, he said. Because the area has already experienced heavy rains and continuous high winds, a majority of the claims that we have received thus far involve fallen trees on roofs, said Streich. Although neither State Farm nor Country Financial offered estimates of how high claims might be, the Associated Press reported that city analyst James Niklicki estimates insured losses in the United States will be about $20 billion, with total losses reaching as much as $50 billion. As bad as that is, Niklicki said a direct hit to Miami could have resulted in losses of up to $150 billion. Hurricane recovery. Local agencies ship more aid. Red Cross, Food Bank see long-term response to storms. Midwest Food Bank and American Red Cross Central and Southern Illinois region have relief supplies and volunteers on the way to Florida to assist survivors of Hurricane Irma, even as both organizations continue to help survivors of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. "This will be a long-term relief effort," said Phil Hodel, Communications Director for Normal-based Midwest Food Bank. "Especially with Irma, we will be assembling, packing, and shipping disaster relief boxes for months to come." The Red Cross Central and the Southern Illinois region has deployed 90 volunteers and staff to Texas and Louisiana since Hurricane Harvey hit the Texas coast on August 25th. Red Cross Regional Communications Director Trish Burnett said Monday, "Some of them already have completed their deployment, but more are being dispatched." Of the 90, 25 were from Central Illinois, Burnett said. 17 of the 25 remain deployed. Meanwhile, 12 volunteers and staff have been deployed by the Red Cross region to Florida to assist with Hurricane Irma relief, Burnett said. Two of the 12 are from central Illinois. We will deploy many more to Irma in the coming days, she said. The director of operations for Midwest Food Bank's Fort Myers, Florida, distribution facility evacuated his family from Fort Myers late last week after the facility closed temporarily as Hurricane Irma approached. He drove to Peachtree City, Georgia, where Midwest Food Bank has another distribution facility. That distribution facility was closed Monday and will remain closed today as Irma, which has been downgraded to a tropical storm, approaches Peachtree City. The Fort Myers operations manager picked up a semi-trailer load of disaster relief boxes in Peachtree City on Monday and will return today to Fort Myers to distribute the food and cleaning supplies to food pantries and other local agencies serving people displaced by Irma, Hodel said. Meanwhile, the Salvation Army has requested from Midwest Food Bank, 2031 Warehouse Road, Normal, another 5 semi-trailer loads of disaster relief boxes for Beaumont, Texas, Hodel said. All 5 loads are expected to ship out by the end of the week, he said. That will bring to 19 the number of semi-loads that the food bank has shipped for Harvey and Irma relief, Hodel said. Over a year following Hurricane Katrina in 2015, we sent over 150 semi-truck loads to Louisiana, Hodel said. Between the two disasters, Harvey and Irma, I would expect as many loads to go out. Volunteers who wish to assemble and pack disaster relief boxes may do so from noon to 3 p.m., Wednesday through Friday at the food bank, but must register first at bloomington.midwestfoodbank.org/volunteer-opportunities. People are just so eager to help, Hodel said. It's great to give them opportunities. People who wish to become trained Red Cross disaster relief volunteers have an opportunity from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. September 30th at the Red Cross office, 1 Westport Court in Bloomington. How to help. Midwest Food Bank. People wishing to help Midwest Food Bank with the cost of food, hygiene, and cleaning supplies and transportation for its hurricanes Harvey and Irma relief efforts may send donations to the Midwest Food Bank, 2031 Warehouse Road, Normal, Illinois, 61761, or visit bloomington.midwestfoodbank.org website. People wishing to assist the American Red Cross with its hurricane relief efforts may visit the website www.redcross.org or call 800-RED-CROSS or text Harvey or Irma to 90999 to make a $10 donation. Arts in Brief. Pink Martini canceled. The March 2018 performance by the jazz pop group Pink Martini in the Bloomington Center for Performing Arts has been canceled. The cancellation is due to scheduling changes with the artist. The show will not be rescheduled, according to a statement from the BCPA. For more information, call 866-686-9541. The Bollywood Dance. Bollywood Dandiya and Garba Night 2017 will be presented at 7:30 p.m. Friday at Benjamin Elementary School, 6006 Ireland Grove Road, Bloomington. The Community Festival of Indian Dance features Chicago's DJ Raga and a live Indian drum player. Tickets are $5 and $8, with kids under 8 admitted for free. Snacks, drinks, and box dinners will be for sale. For more information for the Bollywood Dance, you can call 309-310-9519. We've now come to the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.